Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Blinn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Welcome to the Upswing. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday indeed. Commerce and community. We're back. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn on the Upswing analysis. Local and national issues, unique technology takes, bunch of insights around the election and bosses and transition. We are waiting any moment. President Biden will address the nation, so we will go to that live. So a programming note there. But we're going to talk bosses today. There's so much analysis and deep dives into strategy around the political presidential campaign for sure. I love it all. I hope we can learn from it all. Yet, I think those that we truly learn from our teachers, our parents, our bosses. So today, we're going to dive into the commerce and community around bosses, best and worst bosses, lessons learned in leadership transitions, and opportunities that we see. And time permitting, hope that Steve Glenn's boss at the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra will join us for a couple segments to talk about this weekend's big event and about her leadership in her journey in Milwaukee. Linda Edelstein is the chief executive officer of the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra. But first, as we await President Biden's address, let's go to up.
It's time for the 2 up on the upswing.
This is 100% Wisconsin. New cheese for you on Bruce Street. Some of the best Wisconsin news of the day. You're going to get Hill Valley Dairy. Cheese Shop and Milwaukee Cheese Bar is coming to Milwaukee's Walker's Point, where every drink will be paired with cheese. The bar is in the former Clock Shadow Creamery space, which closed in December of last year. The owner said this on social: "We are stoked to show you what we have been working on. We turned the front of our cheese factory into a small artisan shop and cheese bar with a menu featuring your favorite Hill Valley dairy cheeses and bomb craft cocktails curated by our boys at Nightcap. We're also currently hiring for bartenders and cheesemongers." Hill Valley is owned by Ronami Farms, founded in 1942 in East Troy, Wisconsin. Family generations through the years, and the cheese guru behind it all is Ron Hemingfield. Ron and his wife Josie founded Hill Valley Dairy in July of 2016. I reached out to the company for a specific opening date. Have not received that information, but it will be November. Next up, a bunch of takes on what Trump Take 2 could mean for business. Obviously, a lot of different issues that we're looking at in terms of who will be on the cabinet and who is up next, including what's the role of Tesla CEO Elon Musk going to be. So you look at a bunch of different things just quickly. EVs, obviously Musk and Trump, not totally aligned here. It would be interesting to see what happens. Trump has said during the campaign that he won't let California require all vehicles in the state to go electric. But obviously Musk is owns the world's most valuable EV company. Crypto. Trump has pledged to be the crypto president, a plan that may start with replacing industry opponent, the chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission. So that will be interesting to see what happens there for sure. Obviously, tariffs. Trump has proposed a 10% tariff on all U.S. imports, 60% on Chinese-made products. If enacted, could have a lot of implications down the road for us as consumers and higher prices. Antitrust in tech, you got to think M&A continues to be looked at. Trump may walk back the Department of Justice's bid to break up Alphabet's Google. That will be interesting to keep an eye on. Media, without a doubt. I don't know. I'm going to make a prediction. Doesn't Twitter, X, and Truth Social, don't those two just merge and come together? That will be interesting to take a look at. Obviously, he's also made some talk about different FCC implications during his various interviews. So it will be interesting to see how he interacts with the FCC chair. Finally, mortgage rates. Trump made a promise to drive mortgage rates down to 3% or lower. That obviously seems out of reach, but there will be a lot of moving pieces as a new administration takes over and cabinet officials are named. Without a doubt, as leadership changes, there's always new bosses, there's always new opportunity, and there's always new connections to be made. We're going to dive into best and worst bosses with Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Jeff Sherman joined by Martin Moore, Steve Glenn. We are awaiting President Biden's address to the nation. They're doing mic checks right now as we look at the live feed. So we will take you there live once it's available on our end.
My work's never been interrupted by the president before.
It's a good thing to be, for sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about bosses and transitions. Yeah. I have always said that great bosses don't tell you what to do. They give you the opportunity to fail hard and to dive in, but yet provide the structure and the culture around you to make sure that you succeed. Best boss, worst boss, Steve Glenn.
I don't know if I've ever had a worse boss.
Okay.
I've been very lucky. And I think about bosses like, you know, having solid parents in growing up. And I see people healthy in their careers because they've had good bosses. And I see people who are more toxic in a work environment because of bad boss syndrome.
Yeah.
But I've had some really great bosses that have nurtured, inspired, mentored, and just, you know, remove obstacles to keep me on my path. Yeah. I'm pretty lucky.
Very good.
Yeah.
Martin, talk about your career.
I've only worked at three places, and two of them were Honda dealerships. So had a lot of not so good bosses there.
Yeah.
But, you know,
how do you get through that? Like,
it's tough.
Is it just asking questions? Is it being more in tune with yourself each day?
Like, getting through a not good boss?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's miserable.
Yeah.
Because your happiness and your productivity is predicated on how this person treats you and respects you. And I've always been a firm believer that you hire people because they're smarter than you and better than you and more efficient than you. At the things that you don't know. And what I can't stand is when you work with people or have people hire you who micromanage you and try and tell you how to do a job that you know better than them and you're more skilled and knowledgeable. And that's infuriating. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend never working for someone like that ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so much of it goes back to culture and infrastructure, I think, whether it's a small location, a small employer or a large employer. Yep. My very first job out of school, I worked for Milwaukee County. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee County government. So obviously a huge employer, but on a smaller level, the woman I worked for was the assistant chief of staff, Pat Miller. She constantly told me at age 21, she was providing opportunities to push me through the curtain.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what that meant,
right.
But it was like, Jeff, you are here. You're part of the greater good of county government. We're going to learn how to connect government and private business, but I'm going to push you through the curtain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Love
and
it.
All she did was make introductions, help get me on committees and boards. And that was her goal. And 30 years later, I'm still really good friends with her because she provided so much.
And you
in
do
my
the
life.
Same thing now.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a abundant thinking versus scarcity. And it's not being insecure about your work.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to foster employees to get on board with your whatever mission it is that you have, because you can't. It's not a one-man show or a one-woman show. Like, you need a team of people who believe in you, believe in the mission, believe in the brand or company or product or service that you're selling. And so you see a lot of bosses that get threatened by certain employees. They're afraid maybe they'll make them look bad or take their job or whatever the scenario is. And so they'll sort of hold them hostage and handcuff them from being promoted or really exploring ideas outside of the realm of what they may be used to or comfortable with. And that sort of stuff is frustrating when you're working in environments like that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, having the right culture, when something goes wrong in the workplace, then how do you best address it?
That's a tough one. Yeah. That's a tough. I mean, I've not had, thankfully, bad bosses. I've had some, you know, not the best, but I have had bad coworkers, and that can be just as miserable. And I think, you know, if you can kindly address it with them,
right,
and usually doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Talk to your boss, who's there to kind of give you a shield.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah.
It's a shame that, like, cats can't all be our bosses. And
I know. Because I find, gets to HR, usually that's just not going to work.
Yeah. I mean, providing the right background information in any scenario, right? That's great. Owning your role, no matter where you are in the organization, don't assume others' motives is a really good thing. Right. Like, hey, we don't know what other people are thinking. Assume, though, don't assume you know the entire situation is another really good thing. And then just come at it from a sense of purpose and don't argue, right? Yeah. Those are pretty great.
Some people are just jerks, though.
Yeah, that's right.
They are. I mean, that's not being hyperbolic or exaggerating. Yeah. Some people are just jerks and were never meant to be leaders or be in leadership roles. They just shouldn't be.
You know, it's funny, Jeff, this morning, Robin Daniels, who's former CMO at WeWork, and now just moved to Milwaukee, he posted, "Leadership is hard. You got to step up if your goal is to lead, because it's not about you anymore. It's about the team." And he 100%. Basically says, if that doesn't resonate with you, you're in the wrong space.
100%. Yeah. Could not agree more.
I think that's one of the best things of, like, the days after a big election is the posts, the leadership, the collaboration that comes out, because knowing it was a fight for so long, but now it's all right. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's get back to the same side and let's figure out a path forward.
Yeah. Which always happens, right? In politics.
That's another discussion.
No comment.
This is The Upswing. We're talking with Martin Moore, Steve Glenn. When we come back, Molson Coors makes a move with Leinenkugel's. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, as we listen to President Biden's remarks from the White House in terms of peaceful transfer of power and what's up for the next steps for America. Martin, as you look at leadership transitions, have you had that happen in your career journey where you've had new bosses or new teams come in?
Only because I've been in my current role for only like 7 years. No, but obviously when I worked in the car industry, which is definitely not politics or corporate America. Yeah. And that stuff's always tough because new leaders bring new agendas. They bring new ideas, whether they're good or bad. And the change can be difficult. Human beings do not like change. They don't like being told what to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're a byproduct of where we grow up and what we're taught. And if someone comes in and tries to tell us we're wrong or we need to think different, there can be a real big pushback in that. And so when leadership roles change, it's tough for most people, I think, to adjust, including myself.
Yeah, yeah. You hope for collaboration and connections on all sides. And,
sure.
You know, I think with corporate transitions, obviously new CEOs bring in their own teammates and their own vice presidents. And
it's always scary.
And their own executives.
It's uncharted waters, especially if it's someone that you don't know. It makes it doubly hard if it's someone that you do know that has receipts and track records of things that they've done or implemented that have been good or bad. That can make a transition a lot more difficult for people. But it's, you know, it's tough. There's a lot of nuance to bringing in a new boss or a president or whatever it is. And you got to be very, very, very careful. Because, you know, you have people that depend on you. You have a country that depends on you. You have employees that depend on you. And so you got to be very careful about how you, you know, slide into your new role.
Yeah. Yeah. The peaceful transfer of power and owning the culture and owning the collaborative nature of the greater good. That's what I'm going to call for, no matter if we're in the corporate scenario or on the presidential level. All right. We're monitoring some news out of American Family Field, too, in terms of a concert announcement. I have a couple texts coming in at the WTMJ talking text line at 855-616-1620. So when we get all that information in terms of the Brewers announcement for another big concert coming to American Family Field, we will deliver that news as well. Big news yesterday from Molson Coors announcing plans to close the Line and Kugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls, ending more than a century and a half tradition of brewing in northwestern Wisconsin. I want to read some of the words from Dick Leinenkugel, who provided us here at WTMJ with a statement in terms of, obviously, his family's commitment to Chippewa Falls and to just the brewing legacy in the state of Wisconsin. But, Martin, as you look at kind of corporate transitions here, I mean, Molson Coors ending, saying that they're going to end the brewing in Chippewa Falls, ending the smaller 10th Street Liney's Brewery here in Milwaukee, kind of transferring and putting things under one umbrella, mm-hmm. right? Is that's the corporate mantra, right?
Sure. I mean, if things are more efficient, you get better, higher margins, and you're moving more products, yeah. I mean, that's just what you do. That's what every corporation does. And so I'm assuming this financially makes sense for their bottom line and shareholders. And so it's no surprise. It sucks if you're an employee that's going to lose your job, or it's going to suck for the communities to lose those tax dollars if they're not operating in a certain city. But I mean, that's the ebb and flow. New businesses will come in and new jobs will be created to replace that. But
yeah. Jake Leinenkugel says, "I feel for all the impacted employees and their families in Chippewa Falls and trust that the Molson Coors leadership will do everything possible to ease their pain during this challenging time. I know the Molson Coors leaders don't take these decisions lightly. It's clear to me that they've determined that the savings resulting from the closures were significantly enough to justify this difficult decision. None of our family members were aware or counseled ahead of the decision. It's a sad day for our family and fans. In 2017, we came together in Chippewa Falls to celebrate the brewery's 150th anniversary. It was a defining moment in my career in beer. Alongside my brothers, Jake and John, and members of the fourth, fifth, and sixth generations of family, we proudly toasted our beer drinkers, retail customers, and distributors to thank them for their loyalty and support. So much family legacy in the Leinenkugel's family. But when you go back to the origins of Molson Coors with Miller, there's family legacy there, too.
Absolutely. And when you have businesses like that, I get that these are massive corporations now, but when you have businesses that you know, the entire foundation is a family-oriented business, they're the last ones that want to pull out of a community. Walgreens wants to leave? Sure. I get that. You know, McDonald's wants to leave? Sure. I get that. But when you have a family-owned, in quotes, sort of business like that, that's the last thing I want to do is leave the communities that they planted roots in. And so they obviously have valid financial reasons to do it. And, you know, it is what it is, unfortunately.
All right. You're listening to The Upswing and WTMJ.
We were keeping the faith.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore, Steve Glenn. Oh, the big announcement from American Family Field, April 26th. Billy Joel and Sting. Last time I saw Billy Joel was,
80, what?
Still Married to Christy Brinkley, Alpine Valley, a few years ago.
Did you have a full head of hair back then?
I did, before I started shaving my head, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Either you've seen anyone seen
no.
Billy Joel?
I hate concerts, so absolutely not.
Yeah. All right. Sting?
No.
I hate concerts, so absolutely not.
What?
Okay. I'm taking you to this show, Martin. All right. You got to see the legacy performers in the big venues. I saw the Police, obviously, with Sting back at the Milwaukee Arena. I think that was one of my first concerts my parents dropped me off to. So this is going to be great to kind of see the, I don't know, my old musical hero is in a different environment.
Sting has one of the best TED Talks ever.
Oh,
really? Just saying, yeah.
Leadership. We're going to add that. All right. Well, let's quickly do a giveaway to the Mineshaft because, you know, it's Thursday and you know what the Mineshaft has on Thursdays. Buy one, get one free pizza, gift card to the historic Mineshaft in downtown Hartford, or just off of Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Both locations truly full of creativity. The dining rooms are really fun to explore. Well, they call it the Mineshaft, right? Super affordable, a ton of fun, really family friendly. Our kids love it. We can sit at the bar. The kids can go up to the game room and have a great time. Kids under five always eat for free Monday through Thursday from the kids menu. Caller number 6 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. A couple notes. Tonight is the Westtown Association annual meeting. I will have the privilege to sit down with the CFO of Fiserv, Bob Howe, and have a talk about not only bringing their entire team from Brookfield downtown, but also get an update into the world of fintech and all that's happening around Clover. It will be a great discussion. I'm really looking forward to that tonight. Also, if you got time today, the art museum. It is free all day long until 8 p.m. You're all like, all right, I need an excuse to get to our beautiful Milwaukee Art Museum.
You don't
today.
Have one. No. You don't have one.
That's right. It is free to get into the art museum. We are joined in studio by Linda Edelstein, the CEO at the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra. Big event coming up this weekend. Steve, thanks for bringing your boss in today. We really appreciate
awesome. It. This is awesome. Yeah, all of my worlds are colliding right now. It's great. It's
indeed. Great. Especially for a show that we're talking leadership transitions and bosses. Linda, appreciate your time. You have a big event coming up on Saturday that we can get to later. But I want to just have you give us the overview of MISO, the relationship to the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, obviously, and then talk a little bit about your time driving the importance of the arts in Milwaukee.
Thanks, Jeff.
And sure.
Thanks, Steve, for inviting me to join you today. The Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra is the largest after-school youth orchestra in the country. We serve 1,000 young people from throughout southeastern Wisconsin, from more than 250 schools and 14 counties, in a wide variety of everything from full symphony orchestras to jazz and steel bands. We begin young string students and young band students from the city of Milwaukee who don't have a lot of access to music education. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we take away every barrier to their participation.
Mm. And you've spent a lot of your leadership time in this market, formerly at the United Performing Arts Fund, and just bringing together corporations and communities to provide opportunities for kids to dive into music.
Right. The importance of the arts and culture sector, thanks for calling out the art museum tonight, is a way to bring our community together in positive ways. And it's in ways for us to heal. Sometimes, we turn to music or we turn to the arts as a way to express ourselves when we're filled with joy. Sometimes we turn to it when maybe things are more challenging, and experiencing the arts and for our young people, allowing them to find their voice through their music allows them to process the good and the not so good in their lives.
Yeah. What role, and we talk a lot on this show about recruitment and retention, leadership development. What role does music play in helping youth develop kind of resilience and adaptability as they look to, hey, I may continue to play my instrument, but I know I'm going to get into the workforce and I'm going to have stuff coming at me each and every day.
Right. So that is one of the primary components of what we do. In our work, we teach our young people through the power of music about focus and discipline, how to work in teams, how to have and learn critical thinking skills and complex problem solving. We teach them in their ensembles how to have strong nonverbal communication mm-hmm. skills. And we give them all of these opportunities. These are all the things they need to be successful, whether they are at home or at school, or eventually when they're out in the workforce.
Yeah. Linda Edelstein from the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra. Big event coming up Saturday in Brookfield. When we come back, we'll tell you more about it and more with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, Linda Edelstein from Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra. Linda, you have a big event coming up tomorrow at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center in Brookfield. Tell us all about it.
Thanks, Jeff. It's actually Saturday.
Saturday. I'm sorry. I'm a day ahead of myself. I'm sorry. The whole election cycle and the no sleep. It's Saturday, November 9th.
Yes.
All day. It's our free gift to the community on Saturday from 10 to 6. It's the one day all year where all of our ensembles, all the classical groups, all the jazz groups, the steel pans play in what I lovingly call a two-ring circus. All the classical groups are on the Harris Theater on the main stage, and we turn them over every 30 to 45 minutes. And all the jazz and the steel pan groups are in the Dawes Theater, same thing. They run simultaneously, and it's an open house. Hmm. So people can come and go. It's free. Our schedule is on our website for who's appearing when.
Okay.
MISO.org. Just go on the homepage, scroll down until you see
schedule.
The full schedule.
Yeah. Play Your Part, free concert, starts at 10 and goes till 6 at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center in Brookfield.
Yes, and the coolest thing I think about it is it's not like your standard, typical performance where you have to sit and wait till they're done. You can go in and out of these rooms as you like to just get as much music, kids' music, as possible. And this year, food trucks.
All right. Mm. Nice.
Keep people on site.
Even though it's mid-November, we got to continue the festival nature
exactly.
in Grand Milwaukee. That's
what it's
all about. All right, bring it on. All the best with the event. What if I bring my kids, what will they expect? Is it an opportunity for them to say, all right, how can I dive into MISO?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's both the opportunity to experience what's it like to see someone like them on stage doing this stuff. And it's also a way for us to connect with families who might not know we exist and create opportunities. It's also a fundraiser. Mm. So our students have been fundraising for the last 5 weeks. And our goal is $130,000.
Okay.
We are nearly at 100.
I think we're over now.
Are we over 100,000?
I think we're over 100,000. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can come out and you can help us raise the money that helps allow us to provide financial support for kids who either for their participation or their private lessons or instruments.
Yeah.
Sometimes summer camps. So we provide more than $600,000 in financial aid. Mm. So this is a big component for how the community can help give back to young people who wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to do this.
Very good. Linda Edelstein from Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra, Saturday at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center. Quickly, Martin Moore, you know the power of music and bands in your life.
I do. I used to play Summerfest and played piano and guitar since I was 7 years old, sang.
He still does.
All right.
Awesome.
Very good. The importance of leadership, transitions, and music in all of our life. So very important. Dive into it and embrace it each and every day. Tomorrow, Veterans Day events. The marketing director at the Harley-Davidson Museum will join us to discuss what they have going on this coming weekend.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Johnson Controls plans a $400 million restructuring initiative over the next 3 years that likely will include headcount reductions as the company continues to search for its next CEO. It predicts the exercise will result in annual cost savings of about $500 million. Chicken wings chain Atomic Wings is entering the Wisconsin market. It plans to open 15 stores in the state over the next 6 years, eyeing locations in the Milwaukee area, Kenosha, Racine, Madison, and Green Bay. Lakefront Brewery will have less product on hand this year for its annual Black Friday beer release event. It's producing 2,000 cans of its traditional Black Friday stout, down from 3,000 last year, as well as 1,000 cans of other Black Friday varieties. I'm Teddy Nykel for the Milwaukee Business Journal on 620 WTMJ.